Our next presentation will be Athletic Field Paint Impacts Light, Spectral Quality, and Turf Grass Photosynthesis by Casey Reynolds, Grady Miller, and Thomas Ruffey. And presenting will be Casey Reynolds.
Hello. Welcome. As was just mentioned, my name is Casey Reynolds. I work under the direction of Dr. Grady Miller and Tom Ruffey at North Carolina State University. And what we're going to be discussing today is one chapter out of my dissertation research where we're going to be talking about athletic field paints and their impacts on light spectral quality and turf grass photosynthesis. So why do this work? Well, you know, we all cut on Saturday afternoon football, Sunday afternoon football, and we see these very nice, bright, distinct logos that are painted on the fields. And you have to imagine that those applications have some impact on the health of that turf after enough times of being applied. You can see how bright these logos are, regulation lines, now even advertisements sometimes you'll see painted on fields. So we kind of want to see, you know, what are the effects of repeated applications of these products. And we see in this picture that there are detrimental effects, okay? This scenario is played out at any college and any professional university every spring nationwide, okay? These paints are formulated such that they don't have any acute toxicity. They're latex, water-based paints. They don't acutely hurt the turf. But after 7 or 8 home football games and these repeated applications, you can see in the spring that the only field areas in this picture that are affected are obviously the logo areas. And, again, that's played out every spring, you know, at a lot of different universities and professional stadiums. So to kind of dig deeper into that, here we have a picture of a single application of red non-diluted paint to hybrid Bermuda grass. One application, you know, imagine that after 7 or 8 or 9 applications. And you can think that anytime you coat the surface of a leaf, you have to imagine that it has some impact on that plant's ability to intake CO2 through the stomata, to intake light, and as was just previously mentioned, particular wavelengths of light that are important for photosynthesis. And that's particularly what we're going to be covering today, is the effects of light transmission, absorption, reflection, based on paint color and dilution in turf grass systems. Now, one thing to think about in paint, you know, obviously you paint things certain colors so that you see that color. But from a paint manufacturer standpoint, there's another reason that you paint, and that's to create opacity. Okay, so the objective of a pigment is to create opacity, whether it's on the surface of that leaf or on this wall. You know, you want to create enough opacity such that the area behind that paint is not being seen by your eyes. Okay, so when field managers are painting turf, they're trying to cover as much of that leaf surface as they can to create that opacity. So with that in mind, we want to look at the effects of red and white athletic field paint. We're from NC State. Of course, we naturally choose red and white as our two colors to start this research with, and how these alterations in turn in light spectral quality affect photosynthesis of Lolium perenni in a growth chamber. So to meet objective one, we've got a factorial treatment design, including Pioneer Bright Stripe paint, which is a very common formulation that field managers use routinely. We've got no dilution and 1-to-1 volumetric dilution with water. We chose these because field managers will routinely dilute paint with water. In some cases, they dilute it to make it go farther, like maybe in a high school setting where cost is an issue. At the athletic fields of colleges and professional stadiums, cost is not much of an issue, but brightness, okay? And different colors of paint that you apply may or may not require different dilutions to achieve a certain amount of brightness that you want to achieve. And these dilutions can go anywhere from 1-to-1 to we hear up to 5-to-1 from athletic field managers. So we've got red and white paint, diluted, non-diluted. We apply these various treatments using a Guardco 8-path wet film applicator, which is something we actually got from a paint manufacturer that allows us to draw down this nice, even surface of whatever you put in it. In our case, it's paint. So we put our red and white paint into this wet path, wet film applicator, and we get these nice, known, uniform thicknesses of paint. Now, the treatments we chose were 0.125, 0.25, 0.375, 0.5, 0.625, and 0.75 millimeters of wet thickness. So after applying all of those treatments to transparency film with that wet film applicator, we decided to look at transmission and reflection of photosynthetically active radiation, which we define as 400 to 700 nanometers through each treatment. We do this using an Apogee Instrument spectroradiometer and a Licor integrating sphere. After calculating reflection and absorption, after collecting data on reflection and transmission, we're able to calculate data on absorption by subtraction. So absorption equals 1 minus reflection minus subtraction which comes out of the LICOR user's manual. We defined our spectroradiometry data as broadband wavelengths, PAR, 400 to 700 nanometers, blue wavelengths of data, 400 to 500 nanometers, red wavelengths of data, 600 to 700 nanometers. We also looked at what we called narrowband data, which were 410, 430, 640, and 660. And all of these were plus or minus 10 nanometers that we collected information on. Now, we chose these wavelengths because any plant physiology textbook will tell you that for plants, not only PAR is important, but also blue and red wavelengths of light are particularly important. We subjected our data to analysis of variance, Fisher's predicted LSD used to compare treatments within experiment, and we produced orthogonal contrasts to compare treatments based on dilution and color. Now, this is only one of two tables I'm going to show today, so I want to just point out the high points here. What we have here are the reflection, transmission, and absorption of PAR when averaged over all six of those wet paint thicknesses. Okay, we can see our analysis of variance shows very strong treatment effects with alpha less than 0.001. We see orthogonal contrasts tell us that color and dilution are also extremely significant and important in these effects. And particularly looking at reflection in the first column, the difference I want to point out is look at the 40 to 50% difference in reflection of PAR between red and white paint. So red paint has the capacity to reflect only about 40% of PAR, whereas white paint has the capacity to reflect almost 100% PAR. Okay, transmission in the next column, we still see significant differences there, yet they're much smaller in scale, only about 9.7 with red 1-to-1 dilution, down to 3.0 with white no dilution. So back to that opacity, very little light is getting transmitted through that paint. And then lastly, absorption. We see that absorption of PAR by red paint treatments around 50%, and absorption of PAR by white treatments are around 0%. So the two big things I take away from this slide are high amounts of reflection of PAR in white paint and about 50% reflection of PAR with red paint. Now, in addition to looking at all six thicknesses, we used orthogonal polynomials to produce regression equations based on thickness. So now we have reflection, transmission, and absorption with PAR on the y-axis, wet thickness on the x-axis, and you can see these very similar trends where in the top reflection graph, white treatments were able to reflect 90 or so percent of light, whereas red treatments were only able to reflect about half of that. Again, the smaller scale in transmission of light. As you would expect, transmission of light decreases as thickness increases, and in the bottom scale, absorption, where red, diluted, and non-diluted are able to absorb much more light than the white treatments. So, specific results, red treatments absorbed about 53 and 48% PAR. White paint absorbed 0% PAR. We see reflection of light, 43% PAR and 42% in red, non-diluted, and diluted, and 97 and 95% in white, non-diluted, and diluted. So the PAR that's in that turfgrass system now is being altered based on paint color. Our broadband wavelengths support this, where we have the red, non-diluted, and diluted treatments absorbing about 92% of blue light. So you think, you know, you want to see that red color, you have to absorb those other wavelengths of light. We see absorption in the red wavelengths was only about 18 and 9%, which was due to that high reflection. As was mentioned earlier, I believe, our eyes perceive that red light because it's being reflected by the pigments in that paint. Inversely, white treatments absorbed only about 3% of blue light and 0% of red light, where the vast majority of that light is being reflected around within that canopy. So the pigments themselves are not taking that light out of the system through absorption. It's just reflecting it around within that turf canopy upwards of 100%. Narrowband wavelength data support this. Absorption was high for the red treatments at the blue wavelengths, and reflection was high at the red wavelengths for the red treatments. Inversely, white paint had high reflection of all wavelengths. So in PAR, broadband, and narrowband wavelength data, we see this trend of very high reflection by white paint and very high absorption or relatively high absorption by PAR of red paint. And we see that it is color dependent, particularly with red paint. Now, there's some fundamental differences in paint chemistry and composition that are causing this. This is not happening by random chance. Primary pigments in red paint may include iron oxide and naphthol AS. That comes from any basic, you know, organic pigment or inorganic pigment book. Red paints have the ability to scatter light, but that's wavelength dependent, whereas white paint has the ability to scatter light that is not wavelength dependent. As an example, iron oxide may reflect up to 20 or 30% more light in the red wavelengths than other wavelengths in the visible spectrum, again, perceiving red light. Now, titanium dioxide is one of the most light-scattering pigments I could find, and it's the primary pigment in white paint, and it has this capacity to scatter this light over all wavelengths, as I've mentioned. And it's actually even so reflective that it's more reflective than the interior of that integrating sphere. So barium sulfate, which is what Licor puts on the interior of that integrating sphere, has a refractive index of about 1.64, whereas two common ingredients in titanium dioxide-containing paints have refractive indices of almost twice that, 2.8 and 2.5. So the ingredients in these white paints are designed such that your eyes perceive no color, right? And so you have to put a lot of pigments in these paints to get that effect. And we see this not only in talking with paint manufacturers, but also the data that is after this slide, in that white paints possess a much higher percentage of pigment solids than do red paints. So when we look at our six wet thicknesses of wet paint that were applied, we have 5/10 up to 30 mils. We have dried thickness on the y-axis, and you can see how much thicker that white paint dries versus the red paint, and it's because of that higher percentage of pigment solids. Paints are composed of pigments, resins, solvents, and additives. And when you open that bucket and those solvents begin to evaporate off and you apply that paint, and those solvents and resins evaporate off, the only thing that's left in that system is the pigments. And again, we can see here how much more white pigment is in, how much more pigment is in white paint than in red paint. So we've established these differences. Now we want to see, okay, well, do they have any real effect on turfgrass photosynthesis? Well, we set up a series of growth chamber experiments that we carried out in our phytotron. We seeded 72 pots of perennial ryegrass, maintained them at 22, 18 degrees C day and night temperatures, applied paint at a rate that we come up with after working with our field managers there at NC State. We used the same treatments that we used in the spectroradiometry experiment, red, white, diluted, non-diluted, and we measured net canopy photosynthesis 24 hours after painting. So for a six-week period, we painted every 7 days. 24 hours after each of those paintings, we measure net canopy photosynthesis. And the second of two tables I want to show today illustrates the very strong differences that can happen as a result of those paints. We see analysis of variance shows a very strong treatment effect. We see analysis of variance shows treatment by date effects as well as date effects. And we see orthogonal contrast tell us that paint is important, color is important, and dilution is also important. And the relative scale in the third column of net canopy photosynthesis, we see that white one-to-one diluted is least injurious to photosynthesis, whereas red non-diluted is most injurious. And when I say injurious, we've documented up to a 75% reduction in net canopy photosynthesis in 1 6-week experiment, and a 79% reduction when we repeated that over a second 6-week experiment, followed by, as you would expect, red diluted, white diluted, and white non-diluted, where white diluted only produced about a 19% reduction. So we see that there are fundamental differences in paint chemistry, okay, that can result in can result in effective differences in net canopy photosynthesis. We see that they're color dependent. We see that light that is reflected within a turfgrass canopy is still available for photosynthesis, whether it's reflecting to other parts of the plant that maybe are not painted, or whether it's just reflecting down within that canopy even further. And right now we're actually looking at all the other colors of athletic field paint. So not only red and white, but we're looking at all the colors of the visible spectrum, and we're finding some very consistent results that support this hypothesis that light, the removal of light by absorption of pigments, the reflection of light by different pigments, they can have an impact on plant photosynthesis, and in the end, plant health on athletic turf. So, thank you. Questions?